Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world. Welcome to the third episode of the DevelopPod podcast from IATEVL's TDSIG, that's Teacher Development Special Interest Group. Today's theme is keeping up your mojo, your energy, your momentum, or perhaps your personal sparkle, your pizzazz. I actually cheekily asked one of the interviewees today where they'd look for their mojo, and they replied, inside myself. And I also asked this person how they keep up their mojo, to which they replied, by stimulating it. Well, here we go. You may remember in October last year, for the second podcast, I interviewed Maria, Duran and Julia. Maria had just finished her CELTA, Duran, a more experienced EFL teacher in a private school, and Julia, an experienced ESOL teacher working in a further education college. We're back today with an update from two of them to see how they've been developing. Julia, unfortunately, can't be with us as she's currently nursing her mojo after a recent health concern, so we wish her well and hopefully we'll speak to her later. But today we'll hear from first Maria and then Duran, who are both doing their utmost to maintain their respective mojos. Personally, I think it can sometimes be challenging for all of us, as I think their human stories will show.
So keeping my mojo post-CELTA has been a conscious effort for me because so much has happened between the end of the course and now. When I completed it back in late September, I was raring to go. You know, if there had been a ready-made job to glide into, that would have been a dream. But due to my work commitments, I had to place my enthusiasm on hold, really, and return to my day job as a primary school teacher. So the best I could do at that time to maintain any kind of momentum was to combine the two. And I did this by using pronunciation games with the children and making lessons more student-centred, much like we learnt on the course. That within itself prolonged the momentum because I could see that it was working and it further served to prove the efficacy of the EFL teaching methods. So I could see that contrast between what I'd been doing before the course and what I was now doing. So that was quite affirming. And then a few months after completing the course, I started teaching two private students on a one-to-one basis. That was great, and I purchased the same course books that we used on the course, such as Language to Go and the English File. I don't know if there's a the. Anyway, this kept my enthusiasm going because it was like prolonging the teaching practice I'd had. And it also enabled me to be more experimental with techniques as no one was in that little corner watching me. But beyond all that, I've also continued to watch YouTube videos and read some literature online. I followed a few EFL teachers on Twitter straight after the course, and I've just continued to do that and keep an eye out on what they're saying. And also just listening to speakers of other languages speak English, and just in everyday situations, and noticing the mistakes they make has sort of kept that EFL brain alive. I always had that tendency, even before the course though, to notice grammatical errors and things. My friends hate me, of course. I think overall, though, maintaining your mojo, as it were, after the CELTA is crucial because it's such an intensive course, and when you're in it, it becomes your entire life. And then just like that, it recedes from you, like a dream almost. And if you're not careful, the course will become just another thing that you've done. And all that effort will, of course, you know, just sort of dissipates into the past, as it were. But if you do manage to keep that wave going after the end of the course, then I do think that the real building begins. So, yes, sorry for all the metaphors.
Hi, I'm with Duran today. You'll remember him from episode 2, I expect.
He was talking about teacher development back in mid-October. So we're here to review what he's been doing and what he plans to do. So you may remember that Duran is an English language teacher. He's working in a private language school in Brighton in the UK, and he's been an English language teacher for around about 8 years. He'd just returned from Egypt when we spoke to him last, where he'd been teaching, and general English, business English, and exams. But at the moment, he's mostly teaching adults in group classes. So hi, Duran. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us again. And so perhaps you can tell us a bit about how you've been keeping up your mojo. You've been telling us last time about you wanting to go into teacher training. How has that progressed?
Well, sadly, it hasn't. I haven't actually got the opportunity to do any inset sessions, and I guess that's just because of how things have planned out.
Okay.
But yeah, now it's kind of mostly covering lessons, and it's a slow season, so there isn't much to do. But I think maybe if I do insets, it will probably be in the summer.
Okay.
And there are more teachers around.
So yeah. That aspect's been postponed.
Yeah.
And you're also talking about, you were thinking about doing the Delta, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
And is that still in the pipeline or?
Well, interesting one. I've thought about it and I think, I'm thinking more of doing a master's instead of the Delta. I started to do some comparison, looking at cost and the time that you invest in it and, you know, the results. I'm like, I prefer doing an MA and then probably go into mainstream teaching as the head of department for modern languages or something.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah,
that's definitely a possible career trajectory. So what kind of MA? Have you got any ideas there?
I was thinking of one in, well, really I want to do linguistics, but I'm trying to think of something more lucrative or something that could have an immediate effect having done it. So I think I'll probably do an MA in international education or something and then move into a school, a high school or something and do, you know, modern languages there because of my French and Spanish background. And then I can look into doing linguistics and my other theory-based studies. So, yes.
So a slight diversion, but still...
Yeah.
Still very much linked. Okay, thanks. And last time you were also talking about experimenting with a flipped classroom.
Oh.
How has that been?
I do it routinely now with my classes, especially, of course, with grammar. I just send them home, give them the grammar rules, give them the control practice. Then they come to class and we discuss the questions that they've got problems with. And then I go straight into the freer practice. And sometimes I use videos, like a YouTube video with the same grammar point and do a listening task where they fill in the gaps and then...
So they do a listening task on the grammar rules.
On the grammar rules and then use it in control practice, yep.
Okay, and how do the students respond to that?
They actually, I think it gives them some amount of confidence because then they realize that they can do things on their own. And after a while, they're going off and studying on their own and coming back with questions that are not even remotely related to the topic we're doing, but
so it develops their
learning, like autonomous learners.
Fantastic. Really, yeah. Okay, wonderful. Sounds like it's been going well. And have you thought about making your own videos? Have you done that already, perhaps?
Well, I have. I'm thinking of making my own videos, but I have done videos before when I was teaching in Egypt. So, and I've used some of those videos in my classes. It's just to explain grammar to a lower level. But I think I might want to explore that a little bit more now that I'm a little bit more freelance and I've got more time on my hands. So maybe that's my own little project for 2018.
Great. Good luck with that. There's some great software out there. There's one I hear called Edpuzzle where you can annotate the videos.
Oh.
And so it makes it much easier for your students to find the point in the listening where the information is.
Good.
So what about working on your own classes? You were talking about perhaps developing certain aspects like time management, meeting objectives and staging. Is that something you've looked at?
Well, at the moment, I'll be focusing on time management. You know, I've just been doing this time thing where I give them a task and I tell them, you've got 3 minutes to do it. And I count down on the time while monitoring. I'll go like 2 minutes, 1 minute. 10 seconds, but I usually do it with reading tasks because I'm trying to develop the skimming, scanning, speed reading sort of skills where I give them an article and say just 3 minutes and then they panic because they think 3 minutes for this teacher? I'm like, yes. And then they realize that they can actually understand things without. And I do this especially with my IELTS and CAE, FCE classes.
Great. And how about time management in your own classes overall? Is that something you still need to work on? or is that work in progress? Or
I'm still working on estimating time for activities.
Yeah, yeah.
When I'm planning lessons, I'm really bad at time and numbers and measurements.
Do you find you plan way too much?
Yes, I always overplan. I always overplan.
I think almost every teacher I've ever spoken to, that's been the case. So I think I would give yourself a break on that one. I'm exactly the same, exactly the same. Best plan too much rather than too little, I guess. Well, thanks, Aminia, for joining us. And good luck with your ongoing plans in your career. It sounds like your career's taken some turns there. And it'd be interesting to know how it turns out. Good luck with flipping in the meantime.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, Durham. I was so impressed by these guys listening back to them. They've not only been continuing to develop, but have also been aware of the process and have been checking in with that, monitoring it. If you like, they've been nurturing and developing their metacognitive skills. Duran's long-term plans have been changing a little and taking form, and in the meantime, he's making the most of the low season in teaching to develop the flipped classroom to the benefit of his students, with unexpected advantages in terms of learner autonomy. Maria's conscious effort to keep the wave going, as she calls it, and develop in a fascinating variety of ways is really impressive, and it sounds like she's really keeping her training alive. So if we want to keep our mojo going, we need to feed it. But sometimes perhaps we need to reassess, and sometimes we even need to change routes or put things on hold. That's life. And with the pressure on us to engage with lifelong learning, I think that's only realistic and healthy. Well, thanks again to Maria and Duran, and thank you to all our listeners. We hope you're keeping up your mojo.